It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder.
You guys need to check out June's journey.
Engage your observation skills to quickly uncover key pieces of information that lead to chapters of mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you? Discover hidden clues and solve a riveting murder mystery. Engage with the brain-teasing enigmas of the Roaring Twenties and delve into June's quest to reveal a scandalous family secret. You guys, I love getting lost in this world. It's so beautiful and engaging, and I can't wait to unwind at the end of the day on the couch with this game and a cup of tea. So can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Hey everybody, welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
Thank you so much for listening. If you are listening on podcast, please leave us a review and download. It helps us out so much. And if you are watching on YouTube, hi. If you want to just give us a thumbs up and also turn on notifications so you can be notified every time we upload, that would be great. And thank you guys so much for supporting us and loving us. We love you guys so much. Thank you for being here. Okay, Garrett, are you ready for our 10 seconds?
I am ready for our 10 seconds. Peyton told me what she wanted to do before we even...
I just had the idea.
Okay, let's
do it. Okay, so I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's like this intuition test where you close your eyes and you try to clap at the same time.
Yeah.
And if we clap together, then we're soulmates.
So,
if we're soulmates. Not, I have to kick you off the podcast.
Okay. For those that are listening on podcast, just listen to hear if we clap at the same time.
Okay, ready?
Okay, 1, 2, 3, eyes closed. What was that? What was that?
Like, great, let's break
up. Let's try it one more time.
Okay.
You were just sitting
Why would you go so slow? I mean, so fast.
I don't know, I got excited. Okay, one more time,
it's
ready?
It's intuition.
Okay.
You have to wait for when I'm gonna
clap. Okay, ready?
Okay, 3, 2, 1, close your eyes.
Dang it. I don't know.
We are so bad at this.
All right. Sorry. We're stopping the podcast.
Now my heart's broken.
It's okay. We'll get it.
All right. So as most of you probably know, our merch has now dropped. As you are listening to this, we are so excited about it. We worked so hard on these. We wanted the quality to be really good. And that being said, this merch, this drop is an exclusive drop. So if you are wanting it, you have to get it now because this design might not be here next time we do a drop.
If you're having any trouble accessing the merch or any questions, please reach out to us. We're happy to answer anything. And like Peyton said, we're super excited. We've worked super hard on this. It's kind of just like our basic drop with our first round of designs. And we talked about how our next drop will be just different designs and different things. So we're super excited.
And we are already working on our next drop. So yes, I feel like it's just back to back to back.
It's true.
Okay, Gary, do you have your 10 seconds?
I do. So for my 10 seconds, actually, we're probably going to post this on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just some like videos and pictures we took. But Peyton and I had the opportunity to go to USC. And we taught a podcast class. I don't know how else to explain it. It was super fun.
It was so fun. We just talked about how we started, what it was like, our challenges, and how we have continued to move forward. And honestly, it was just the coolest experience. We got to tour the campus. It was so fun.
Also, I am playing in a pickleball tournament on Sunday, just in case anyone was
so
curious.
Everybody wish him luck. I'll put a picture up when he wins gold.
Only if I win first.
Our case sources this week are A 48 Hours Episode Season 32, Episode 59, AETV.com, CBSNews.com, NewsPress.com, NapleNews.com, CrimeOnline.com, WinkNews.com, and Heavy.com. So our case this week begins on Monday, June 29th, 2015 in Bonita Springs, Florida. A very successful woman, 46-year-old Dr. Teresa Sievers, and her husband, Mark Sievers, are going on a short vacation together with their two kids. According to Dan DeLuca with the News Press, Teresa was born in Connecticut and was valedictorian of her high school class. She graduated from medical school in the Caribbean nation of Dominica and completed residency at the University of Florida. Dr. Teresa and Mark had met and were married back in 2003, and they had a beach wedding, which I was extremely jealous of. He was a nurse, and she was recently divorced, and just 6 months after the wedding, their first daughter was born. This was when the couple decided to build their beautiful home in Bonita Springs, Florida, and it was 2007 when their second daughter was born. At this point, Mark loved being a dad, and the girls were everything while also supporting Teresa in her career. Teresa was a high-profile doctor, according to Jessica Lipscomb, who reported heavily on this case. Jessica was strong-willed, and she knew what she wanted. She was running a holistic medical practice that was named Restorative Health and Healing Center. She gave many speeches and many videos about her passion on this approach and was known for her feisty temper. She could be known to raise her voice at the office. She was very passionate about what she did.
Okay.
And while Teresa worked day in and day out with her patients, Mark worked for her managing the office and also taking care of their two little girls at home. Teresa and Mark were taking this summer weekend in 2015 to head up to New York for a family getaway. Teresa's family would actually be there too. Teresa would then fly back to Florida on Sunday to get back to her demanding work. And Mark and the kids would come back later, enjoying the vacation just a little bit longer. So they go on vacation. Teresa's going to fly back alone because she has to be into work on Monday. And Mark's going to stay a little longer with the girls.
Got it.
So when Sunday night rolled around and Teresa landed at the Southwest Florida International Airport, she called Mark to check in. Hey, I've landed, made it safe, everything's good. Teresa gets a ride home from a car at the airport and the night comes to an end. But in the morning, Teresa's office becomes worried when she is late for work. Teresa is never late for work, especially without a warning. Her assistant, Sandra Haskins, begins calling and texting. It's now past 9 a.m. and Teresa is officially late. Sandra reaches out to Mark asking if he knew where Teresa was that morning. Maybe she decided to stay on vacation a little bit longer. He says, no, she called him after she landed last night and she was getting in a car heading home. He hadn't heard from her all morning and he too now was worried knowing that she didn't show up for work. Mark decides to call a friend and have him go check on the house. It was like a neighbor friend. Maybe Teresa had just slept in, even though that's very unlike her. So the neighbor calls 911. After Teresa's husband, Mark, had called and had him check on her. When the neighbor had gone over to the Sievers' home, he found Teresa dead on the kitchen floor.
Oh my gosh.
There was a hammer next to her body and she had 17 impact wounds to the back of her skull. So this was a violent beating. It was a violent death. She had been attacked in her home and was now dead on their kitchen floor after not showing up to work that morning.
Okay.
When Mark Sievers was contacted and told about his wife's murder, he couldn't speak. People say he was just like completely dumbfounded. He cooperated with police immediately and spoke to them without a lawyer. He handed over his cell phone. We know that the husband is always the first suspect and it was no different in this case. But I mean, Mark's alibi is really strong. At the time of Teresa's murder, he was back in New York with the girls and Teresa's family. Like, he was out of town. That's a really strong alibi for a husband.
Doing so many of these, my first thought goes to, well, did he hire someone? I know we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And I don't want to blame him, but that's just my first initial thought.
It does seem like that always happens.
Yeah.
So as police look at Mark, they also lay out what they had found back at the crime scene. There was sign of a forced entry. It looked like the door had been pried open. But they noted that there was $40,000 in cash inside the house, as well as Mark's extensive gun collection that was untouched.
Weird.
So this didn't appear to police to be a robbery gone bad. Like, it didn't appear like someone had broke in, accidentally found her there, thinking the family was out of town and killed her. And then robbed them because all that stuff was still there. The family did have an alarm that was usually armed, but Mark's mother had been feeding the family pets while they were out of town, and she had had trouble setting the alarm the last day that she fed the pets. She called Mark, and Mark was like, oh, just don't worry about it. We'll figure it out when we get there. Mark's mother actually really struggled with this idea that she had left the house unarmed and then Teresa was murdered inside the house.
Not her fault at all.
Not her fault at all, but she really struggled with that. 8 days after the murder, there was no leads, no nothing. And so Teresa's funeral was held. A lot of her patients were there and it was a beautiful service. One thing that stood out to everyone was the visible gun that Mark Sievers had on his waistband. Family knew that Mark was on edge. His wife had been beaten to death with a hammer at their own house, and he had two little girls. I think the concern for his family's safety is like completely warranted.
Yep.
So while looking into Mark, police were also interviewing friends and family, and this led them to the assumption that they would need to look into Teresa's patients as well. It was during these interviews that Teresa's sister, Annie, mentioned that Teresa's medical assistant, Sandra Haskins, who had called her husband, she was a disgruntled employee, according to Teresa's sister. Apparently, she was bad-mouthing Dr. Teresa to her own patients. So police reach out to Sandra, and she was in fact going to resign that week. She claimed Teresa talked down to her, but that shouldn't make her a suspect. She's like, I had nothing to do with this.
Doesn't mean she go hit someone 17 times in the head.
Yeah. So police still had so many options to narrow down. So they let her go, and they go pretty silent about the investigation into this case. Media isn't told much. No one really knows who killed Teresa Seaver, and time just kind of keeps going on without any updates. Until 2 months after the murder, in August, when police announced that they will be holding a press conference on this case, everyone shows up. Like, obviously, everyone's intrigued. Had they found a clue in the case? Like, they're dead silent. And now all of a sudden, they're like, we're holding a press conference.
Is the family back living at the house? Do you know?
I don't know. I never actually came across that. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I do know that the girls were put into, like, protective custody at first, just because they don't know if Mark's a suspect or not.
Okay.
So I do know that, but yeah, I don't know where Mark is living. I don't know if he's at the house. I would assume probably not, because it's probably still a crime scene.
I was going to say, if it's an ongoing investigation,
Yes, it's probably still an active crime scene. So police are having this press conference. Everyone shows up. They are eagerly waiting to hear the update, but they were stunned to hear that police had more than just a little clue or a little update. Police had arrested a suspect named Jimmy Rogers from Missouri for the murder of Teresa Seaver. So there's like no word. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we've arrested someone for the murder.
And some random guy.
This is in Florida, and this guy's in Missouri.
Okay.
And about an hour later, police also announce once again that they have now picked up a second suspect.
What the heck?
Named Curtis Wayne Wright from Missouri as well. So they have arrested two people in Missouri for the murder of Dr. Seavers in Florida. And this is all in 2 months.
That makes no sense.
She was murdered two months ago. And these guys are 1,100 miles away. Like, how did they even make this connection? Yeah. What's going on? No one had actually heard of Jimmy Rogers, the first suspect. They were like, family was like, we don't know who that is. We don't know. But everyone in the public was shocked when police released the photo of Wayne Wright. His name's Curtis Wayne Wright, but he goes by Wayne. They were shocked because Wayne looked identical to Teresa's husband, Mark.
No way.
We will be posting the pictures on YouTube and on our social media. But if I looked at the photos of both of them, like, I would say it was the same person, just different times they were captured.
They looked that much identical?
That's how identical they looked.
Okay.
They're both bald. They both have the same glasses. They both have their beards cut in the same exact way. Like, it's crazy.
Weird.
And the even weirder part, Wayne was Mark's best friend for a long time. So these two guys that look identical, like they post the picture.
So he was actually his best friend?
Yes. Yeah, so the public's like, what the heck? This guy looks identical to him. And then Mark's family and Dr. Seaver's family is like, no, this is her husband's best friend. Like, we know this guy. We know
Wayne.
Holy
crap.
Wayne and her husband, Mark, are best friends, have been for a very long time.
All right. Well, here, like I mentioned earlier, this is what it's sounding like, that he hired someone.
Yes, it's getting to that. So Mark's good friend just got arrested for bludgeoning his wife to death in their home while he was back on vacation with her family. Like, how weird is that? Taking charge of my health is all about being super conscious of what I fuel my body with. Whether it's food or supplements, I'm constantly on the lookout for the top choices. And that's why I'm stoked to share with all of you Thorne. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with their supplements. They manufacture all their supplements in the U.S. using top-notch ingredients sourced globally. Plus, they team up with leading medical professionals to bring you highly effective nutritional supplements. Whether it's their B-complex, creatine, magnesium, or basic prenatal, Thorne's got all the supplements I need to help promote and maintain my health goals. You guys, I'm actually taking the B-complex vitamins every single morning, and I feel like it enhances my energy and mood, especially if we've been eating a little bit unhealthy.
With Thorne, we never have to question what's in each supplement because they go the extra mile when it comes to quality, manufacturing, and ingredients. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/husband and use code husband for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/husband, code husband for 10% off your first order. Thorne.fit/husband, code husband. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When we started podcasting, an online store was honestly the furthest thing from our minds. But now we're selling Murder with My Husband merch, and it's so easy because we use Shopify.
And we really do. We use Shopify to sell our merch. I've been using Shopify for years, so it is absolutely amazing, easy to use, so intuitive. I love it. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
And it's great because they grow with you. So whether you're just launching your shop or you've just hit a million orders, they are there every step of the way. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms.
We've actually tried a couple other platforms before we started using Shopify to sell our merch, and Shopify is just the best. I've been using it for years, like I've said, and I just love having control over it and being able to do what I want. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is a global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries.
So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/husband. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/husband now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/husband. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So like we all have stuff that stresses us out, right? Whether it's big or small, it can really get to us if we keep it all inside. And therapy is a safe space to just let it all out and figure out how to deal with the stuff that's weighing us down. And I am such a huge advocate for therapy. It truly has changed my life for the better. I could go on and on. I feel like I have the tools now to handle panic attacks or just major stressors in life, and also a safe space to say whatever I need to say to an unbiased party.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
We're jumping into an ad right now, and I, no joke, I've had this question I think about all the time because I hate getting sick. Do you ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall, where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich, exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband, or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's TryArmra.com/husband.
So Wayne and Mark had grown up together in Missouri. Wayne had gone to Mark and Teresa's wedding and even to Teresa's funeral. And 2 months before Teresa's murder, Mark had actually been Wayne's best man at his wedding. So that's how close these guys are. And Wayne was still involved in their lives. He was actually the tech guy at Teresa's doctor's office. So he would drive from Missouri to Florida to work on her office computers and stuff like that. So as police dug deeper into Wayne, after receiving a tip from someone in Missouri that he had confessed to the crime of killing Teresa, they discovered that back in 1996, a preacher mysteriously disappeared and he was last seen with none other than Wayne Wright.
Okay.
Apparently, Wayne owed the preacher money, but he has never been charged for the disappearance, but he is listed as a person of interest in that case. In 2011, Wayne was also serving time in prison for drug possession, and this is when he met the other suspect in this case, Jimmy Rogers. Jimmy was doing time on a weapons charge, and he was released before Wayne. Jimmy missed work on the day of Teresa's murder, and he told his boss he was in Florida, which is where she was murdered. Yep. The other weird part, Jimmy's self-given nickname was The Hammer.
Oh my gosh.
Like he, you're on Facebook, me. It says Jimmy Rogers and underneath for nickname, The Hammer.
And did these guys not, and I'm glad they're getting caught, but did they not like think of this ahead of time? Like my name's The Hammer and I'm going to keep it.
And I use The Hammer.
Yeah.
And also, I think Jimmy Rogers giving himself the nickname The Hammer really tells us all we need to know about Jimmy, in my personal opinion. But
I mean, agree.
That's just my personal opinion. Wayne had also gone to Florida with Jimmy at the time of Teresa's murder. So now at least this arrest makes a little bit more sense. Like these two were in Florida at the time. And also Wayne has told someone who's come forward to police that he did it. So to the public, this is making a little bit more sense. But still, we don't have, like, police haven't released any concrete evidence as to why these two are specifically arrested other than the fact that they were in Florida.
And also why they did it.
Exactly. So Jimmy told multiple people different reasons for why he was going to Florida that weekend. And so police began investigating this Florida trip with Jimmy and Wayne. And this is when they found the rental car that Jimmy and Wayne had used to drive to Florida. The GPS system showed everything the police needed. It showed that on the morning of June 27th, 2015, Wayne picked up the car and then picked up Jimmy. They put in the address 27034 Jarvis Road, Bonita Springs, which, you guessed it, is the Seavers house.
Oh my gosh.
And I will be putting in our episode notes, in our case sources, there is a very well written out timeline of everywhere this GPS went. So if you want a more detailed of like all the gas stations they stopped at and whatever, that's in our episode notes if you want to check it out. So police now have physical evidence that Jimmy Rogers and Wayne Wright made their way at some point to the crime scene the weekend that Dr. Seavers was murdered. After driving all day and all night, they arrived at the Seavers home Sunday morning, the same day Teresa came home. Police think they then turned off the Seavers alarm, which in records shows was disarmed at 6:09 a.m., which would then explain why Mark's mother had a hard time with the alarm that day because she went expecting it to be armed, but it was already disarmed.
Oh, okay.
And so when she tried to disarm it, she actually armed it. And so it got all messed up and she was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to work this. The GPS then shows that after disarming the alarm, which police think they did, that the GPS left the Seavers home and went to a nearby Walmart. So police go check security footage from the Walmart and they spot both Jimmy and Wayne together making a little shopping trip in Florida that day. They bought trash bags, flushable wipes, black towels, black shoes, and a lock picking kit.
I don't understand what they thought.
They left a trail.
Yeah, that's so suspicious.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking.
Exactly. And they paid cash to purchase all of these things. Then they typed in the beach on the GPS and they spent some time there. So after they go to Walmart and buy a kill kit, they go to the beach in Florida and they hang out for a little bit. After the beach, they return back to the Seavers' house and wait. The GPS didn't leave again until early morning Monday, where it directly made the 17-hour drive back to Missouri. So all of this is pretty strong evidence. I mean, this is basically a digital footprint outlining the murder. How could they have been at the house? Like, the GPS is at the house at the time of the murder and not done it. Like, so obviously this is very concrete evidence. But what you were saying... why?
And this is what I'm curious about. So like what
we still don't have a why.
Yep.
Jimmy and Wayne aren't talking. Like they lawyer up, they don't talk to police. So police are once again like, we'll have to investigate to find out. And all of this is happening during those 2 months. So all this investigating and everything is happening while they're dead silent. And I think this happens because if police have like strong enough evidence and strong enough leads, they don't need the public's help. So they don't need to include the public into the investigation. Most of the time, they'll only talk to the public if they're like, has anyone seen this man? We need help with this. You know what I mean? Police decide to bring Jimmy's girlfriend, Taylor, in and question her. Maybe she knows something. Maybe Jimmy had told her something. Taylor tells police that Jimmy took her for a ride after making that trip to Florida with Wayne. And during the ride, along the way, he made her throw out pieces of his cell phone that he had smashed up, gloves, and a jumpsuit. Taylor said she threw them all out because she was too scared to ask why he would need to be like discarding of these things. But after, she asked him, hey, like, I'm not going to tell anyone what happened in Florida. And he told her everything, that he had used a hammer to kill a woman and that that woman was Mark's wife.
Holy crap. I actually can't believe he told her.
Both of them told people. Like, they're dumb. And at this point, police know what Mark knew. And at this point, after hearing this, police are like, okay, the husband, Mark Seaver, he's in on this.
110%.
His best friend doesn't kill his wife.
He has to be.
With another criminal. And not know about it. There's no reason for Wayne also to be able to get into their house and unarm their alarm, like put the code in if Mark doesn't know about it. They begin sweeping through Mark's phone that they had collected, and they discovered that although from the outside, Mark and Teresa's marriage looked pretty stable, the Seavers were in serious financial trouble. Like, even though they had $40,000 in cash at their house, they were really struggling with money.
It's a lot of money in cash, though.
Oh, I agree. I think it's weird, but they were struggling with money. And Mark had more than 4 or 5, it kind of depended on the source, life insurance policies out on Teresa that totaled more than $4.4 million.
Wow.
So if she died, he would get that much money.
Yeah.
They also discover Mark's journal, which documents the problems in the marriage, discussing multiple affairs on both parts, lack of attraction and lack of sex in their marriage, and a fear of divorce and kind of who would get custody. This was all things he was talking about in his journal.
Okay.
Taylor told police, which is Jimmy's girlfriend, that Jimmy told her he would be paid $10,000 for murdering Mark's wife and that that money would come from insurance money. So police are like, it was a murder for hire. Mark had hired, according to police, his best friend Wayne, who then hired Jimmy, his friend that he had met in prison, for help. 8 months after Teresa's murder, Wayne Wright turned on Mark and Jimmy. He took a deal. He admitted to killing Teresa with Jimmy at the hands of Mark Seavers, his best friend, and pled guilty to second-degree murder, sentenced to 25 years.
So second-degree murder.
Because he took a deal. He agreed to testify against the other two in court.
Holy
as long
crap.
As he would get 25 years, which is a good deal for killing someone, might I say. This was the testimony that police needed to charge Mark for the murder of his wife. But Mark says that Wayne envied him and killed her on her own. He had no part in this. That he had somehow turned into Mark. Wayne had shaved his head when Mark started to go bald. He trimmed his beard the same way, got the same glasses.
Gosh.
And Mark's like, no, Wayne, my best friend, was jealous of me. And so he murdered my wife. That's what Mark is saying.
Okay.
And people kind of like people come forward are like, Mark and Wayne didn't look like when they were younger. Like when they're in high school and friends, they didn't look like each other. It was like kind of the older they got, they kind of just like morphed into each other. 4 years after the deal to testify against Mark and Jimmy, both Jimmy and Mark go to trial. Jimmy Rogers goes on trial first, and the state says, like, okay, at trial, this is what they present. Both Jimmy and Wayne each had individual hammers, and they ended up finding the jumpsuit that Taylor disposed of, and so they had proof of this, and a fiber from the jumpsuit was found on Teresa's body, which, like, is strong evidence that connects Jimmy to the murder.
Yeah.
During his testimony, Wayne says that he and Jimmy killed her together. And after 2 days of deliberation, Jimmy Rogers was sentenced to life in prison for the murder of Teresa Severs.
Okay. And so what did Mark get?
So,
because that's what
you're curious about. In November 2019, so this is pretty recent,
yeah,
Mark Severs went on trial facing the death penalty after spending the last 3 years basically in jail. His family still stood behind him, saying he didn't do this, like Wayne was just jealous of him and killed her on his own. But the evidence of Mark and Wayne actually using burner phones to communicate the like weeks before the murder was pretty solid evidence enough that there was a secret going on between them. They were having to use burner phones to communicate. This is, yep, like, this is red flag number 72.
Totally.
You know what I mean? The jury was out for 4 hours deliberating on a death penalty case, which is nothing. 4 hours is so fast for a, yeah, death penalty case. And they found Mark Severs guilty of first degree murder and like encouraged the death penalty. On January 3rd, 2020, Mark Severs pled for his life in front of the judge saying he was innocent. The judge ruled that Mark would be sentenced to death.
Wow.
Teresa's family had to wait 5 years for justice. Teresa lived a life of helping people. She was a doctor. And she left two beautiful girls behind to grow up without a mom and a dad. They are being raised by Teresa's family. According to News Press, a year after her sister's killing, Annie described Teresa Severs as a paradox. She was this incredibly gifted, brilliant doctor and this incredibly Christ-like person. She just lived that way, Lisa said. She'd give you the shirt off her back. She helped strangers. She'd get up at 2 a.m. to do like an evaluation on anyone. But yet she'd put on her 5-inch heels and curl her hair and she'd be swearing like a sailor and drinking while doing this.
Yeah.
Mark's request for a new trial has been denied and Jimmy Rogers' appeal has not been decided yet. So we will be waiting for an update on that.
I can't believe, I feel so bad for the kids too.
Yeah. Like, talk about these innocent victims.
Like, what in the world? Their dad tried to kill
their mom, and they now have a life full of pain without a mom and a dad. Just two innocent victims.
That's crazy.
Along with Teresa in this. The thing about these cases is there is always so many more victims than just the victim itself. Yeah. You're leaving family, friends, people who cared.
It's a huge ripple domino,
yes,
effect.
And it's awful. Like, Teresa Severs obviously was this amazing go-getter, achiever. Like, look at what she had achieved, yeah, in her life. For what? Just for him to kill her. Like, it's
so
unfair,
crazy.
But I do want to remember the legacy that she left of healing people, spending all of her time working for people as a doctor. And I do want to think about her whole family and everyone else who was affected by this.
Yeah.
But that is the case of Teresa Severs.
Jeez.
Another murder for hire, which we always see.
Those are insane to me.
Insane.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's the same red flags over and over in every single case where you're like, how has someone not done this better? Like, in a roundabout way, it's just,
yeah,
like,
no, I knew what you're saying.
You left a breadcrumb and you hired someone who knew her, who,
yeah,
was a part of your life. How did you think you weren't going to get caught?
Yeah.
Like, and they solved it pretty fast. I mean, it was under a year.
Yeah, I'm glad they got it.
Me too. Okay, thank you guys so much for supporting the show. A reminder that if you want bonus content, we have that over on our Patreon. You can just go to patreon.com/murderwithmyhusband to check that out. And we will see you guys next week with another episode. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.